This podcast is brought to you by the Islamic Center at NYU. For more information, visit our website at www.icnyu.org.
أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد سيد الأولين والآخرين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين رب اشرح صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي السلام عليكم ورحمة الله Inshallah, unfortunately, just because of my own situation with my family and me having to look after, mashallah, my three-year-old, I wasn't able to prepare this discussion in a way that's effective. So today I thought we would just read from a hadith, and next week we won't have this class. We'll have our Tuesday class, but we won't have this class just because my wife is expecting, alhamdulillah, in the next few days, and then we were all exposed. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, to somebody who was infected with the COVID-19 variant. As you know, I had COVID like a month ago. So alhamdulillah, Allah is merciful. Another opportunity for more kafara, inshallah, and forgiveness of our sins. So we're going to read simply from a hadith. I think this hadith is sort of contextually appropriate, at least for me. This is from the 40 hadith of Imam An-Nawawi, and this is hadith number 19. From Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, and Ibn Abbas, of course, is the nephew of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. من آل بيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال كنت خلف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يوما. He said that I was behind the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم one day, and here he means on his donkey صلى الله عليه وسلم. فقال يا غلام, and the Prophet said to me, يا غلام, and غلام is a word which is addressing someone who's under the age of puberty. إني أعلمك كلمات. I'm going to teach you some words. And here we see something that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his focus on young people and his being accessible to young people, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because this is not the only young person who had this experience with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyida Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma had this experiences with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyidina Umayr ibn Malik, the brother of Anas ibn Malik, Sayyidina Anas ibn Malik, and others. There are numerous examples of this. And here we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the fundamental foundation of his relationship with especially young people was not one necessarily of demanded authority, but earned respect. And this is one of the tricks of shaitan for religious teachers and imams and shuyukh, is that they become hypersensitive to people respecting them, to the point that perhaps people are asking sincere questions which may not necessarily be logical or practical, and that is perceived as a sign of disrespect. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the example of how to be patient and resilient with people, even people who may not be educated. Allah commands him in numerous places to be kind and gentle with the Muslims. وَاخْفِدْ جَنَاحَكَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah says, وَاخْفُدْ جَنَاحَكَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَفْوًا. You should be merciful to the believers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Sayyidina Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِّيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَ. You must be resilient with those who call on their Lord morning and evening. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala locates the centrality of this relationship when he says, رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ, that there's mercy amongst the believers. So, for any of the mashaykh or the imams or religious teachers who find themselves constantly enraged, perhaps it's a good idea to step back and get involved in some self-care and self-help and to resuscitate yourself and to have a loving, generous, patient disposition, especially with the Muslims who are under so much pressure. That doesn't mean also that people don't disrespect our imams and our teachers, of course, all the time. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was disrespected and he maintained patience. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So he says to Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, inni u'allimuka kalimat. I'm going to teach you some words. Sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Ihfadhi Allaha yahfadhuk. Be mindful of Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of you. Take care of a ihfadh hadhihi al-alaqa. Look after this relationship that you have with Allah. And our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is about establishing taqwa in obedience and devotion and good character. So look after those things, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look after you. احفظي الله تجده أمامك أو تجاهك. Be mindful of Allah, and you will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any direction you head. Of course, this is a metaphor. Allah is beyond any physical distance or place. إذا سألت فاسأل الله. If you ask, ask of Allah. وإذا استعنت فاستعن بالله. If you seek assistance, seek the assistance of Allah. وعلم أن الأمة. And know that if a nation لو اجتمعت على أن ينفعوك بشيء لم ينفعوك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله لك. That if an entire nation came together to help you, they cannot help you unless Allah has decreed that they help you. وإن اجتمعوا على أن يضروك بشيء لم يضروك بشيء إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله عليك. And if that entire nation came together to harm you, they cannot harm you except with what Allah has permitted. ورفعت الأقلام, the pins have been lifted. وجفت الصحف, and the pages are dry. I mean, and what's been decreed is decreed. This hadith is related by Imam Sayyidina At-Tirmidhi. وقال رحمه الله هذا حديث حسن صحيح. وفي رواية غير الترمذي, there's another narration, not from Sayyidina Imam At-Tirmidhi. احفظ الله تجده أمامك. Be mindful of Allah, you'll find Allah in front of you. تعرف إلى الله في الرخاء يعرفك في الشدة. If you know Allah in good times, Allah will know you in difficult times. وَاعْلَمْ أَنَّ مَنْ مَا أَخْطَأَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُصِيبَكَ. You know that whatever has befallen you from hardships and difficulties and mistakes has not been done, right, necessarily to be a fitna for you. Could be perhaps an opportunity for growth, as we're going to talk about in a second. وَمَا أَصَابَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْطِئَكَ. And what has befallen you from difficulties also is not meant to cause you to stray. In other words, stay down. Whatever is going on in your life, whether good or bad, don't read too much into that. Focus on devotion. وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ النَّصْرَ مَعَ صَبْرِ. And know that the help comes with resilience. وَأَنَّ الْفَرْجَ مَعَ الْكَرْبِ. And that ease comes with hardship. وَأَنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى. And that with hardship is ease. I'm going to read the explanation of Sheikh Sharbini, Sharnubi, rahimahullah ta'ala, who says, خلف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, Abdullah ibn Abbas, that I was behind the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, أي على حماره, on his donkey with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. The احفظ الله أي أوامره ونواهي. What does that mean? That means look out for what Allah has commanded, and look out for what Allah has prohibited. Of course, the amr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is found in the Quran and in the sunnah of Sayyidina Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَعَ اللَّهِ. Whoever obeys the messenger has obeyed Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Surah Hashr, وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. Whatever the Prophet has prohibited you, you must avoid it. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, he said, وَمَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِهِ فَأْتُ مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ وَمَا نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْهُ فَجَتَنِبُ. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whatever I commanded you, do it as best you can. Whatever I prohibited, you must avoid it. Of course, the amr, the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is al-kalam al-taribi للفعل. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to do something. This is called amr, with an im sound, amru. Amru. Other words that are synonymous with this are obligatory, fard, and wajib. The same thing applies to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. Whatever he has commanded us to do, if it's a command, you have to observe it. For example, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, he said, صَلُّوا, you must pray, كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي, as I pray. So nobody can follow, you know, self-help gurus or anyone who talks about praying differently, meaning not that people differ on how to pray amongst the scholars, that's acceptable, but the idea, the institution of prayer. Someone says, you know, you don't need, you know, I get closer to Allah doing something else besides prayer. La ya Shaykh, that's impossible, because nobody is closer to Allah than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first example of that, where somebody tried to logically explain the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and by extension, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they made a mistake, is Iblis. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا مَنَعَكَ أَنْ أَلَّا تَسْجُدَ إِذْ أَمَرْتُكَ. What stopped you? What prohibited you from prostrating after I amartuk, after I ordered you to do so? And his response, قَالَ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ خَلَقَتَنِي مِنْ نَارُ خَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ طِينَ. I'm better than him. You made me from fire, you made him from clay. This is called Al-Qiyas Al-Fasid, meaning that this analogy is incorrect and rejected. So Iblis, la'natullah alayhi, is the first example of someone who tries to logically explain why a command from Allah, and by extension a command from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, can be dismissed using reasoning. And here we see a very important challenge to postmodern world, modern modernity, meta-modernity, and a post-enlightened West that challenges everything. In fact, there's a value in challenging. No doubt there's a healthy place for challenging. But when it comes to qala Allah, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as-sukut. There are three reasons for this, generally, why people do this. Number one, they lack knowledge. They don't have an understanding of the sacred, so they don't understand and appreciate the importance of the commands. And that's why Allah says, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتْ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. That by your Lord they will not believe until they make you, O Muhammad, a judge between them, and they have no rancor in their hearts, and they submit willingly. So the first is maybe someone doesn't understand how sacred those things are. The second is arrogance, like Iblis, kibr. Somebody just doesn't want to obey Allah or obey the Messenger of Allah. They find value in obeying their nafs more than obeying Allah. And that's why the word for prohibition, al-nahi, as Ibn Faris, who's a great scholar in Arabic, he said the word nahaya, أَصْلٌ صَحِيحٌ يَدُلُّ عَلَى غَايَةٍ وَبُلُوغٍ أو كما قال رحمه الله. If I remember correctly, he said that the word nahi, naha, yanhi, nahyan, actually is from a word which means to stop, to reach the apex of something and to stop. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the 45th, I believe, verse of Surah Taha, he calls the people of knowledge ulinnuha, inna fi dharika la ayatin li ulinnuha, that indeed this is a sign for the people of nuha. Nuha means stop, because a smart person knows when to stop. He or she knows his or her limits. Iblis, he didn't know his limits. And sometimes when a person is engaged in evil, it's because he or she doesn't understand their limits. They don't understand the importance of the sacred. We ask Allah Ta'ala bil-afiyah. And the third is negligence. A person is just negligent. Allah Subh'anaHu Wa Ta-A'la says, وَلَا تَكُمْ مِنَ الْغَافِرِينَ. Don't be from those people who are negligent of the sacred. And that's why the more someone learns about the sacred, the more they have reverence. Allah says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. So احفظ الله means to observe the commands and to avoid the prohibitions. Al-amru wa-nahi. We have a very important axiom in Islamic law. Al-amru yufidu al-wujub wa-nahyu yufidu al-tahrim. Illa bi-qarinatin tusarrifuhuma an haqiqatihima. That the literal meaning of a command and a prohibition is understood to either be, I have to do it, or I have to stay away from it. I have to do it, or I have to stay away from it. The exception to of the rule is what's called majaz. That sometimes maybe commands are used in a figurative way. So we need to be very careful. So احفظ الله means to observe the commands of Allah and the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to avoid the prohibitions. And this is what makes Islam very different than other sort of forms of, say, especially now contemporary metaphysics. And there are so many things happening in the world today and so many different philosophies that Islam does not tolerate the theoretical. Islam demands the practical. So my faith is going to be exhibited by my adherence. And my adherence is going to be a reflection of my spiritual state. All three of those go together. Al-ahwaru, wal-af'aru, wal-iman. Faith, spiritual state, and practice. Not just some cool, hip, awesome, nice verbiage that has no relationship to obedience to Allah and to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's why we find the activist in the Quran is identified as somebody who is not untethered from obedience to Allah and His Messenger. And this is one of our concerns with the left in this country, that it has untethered itself largely from religious traditions. And in fact, at times espouses a liberation and a feeling of grandeur that it is no longer linked to the legacies of, say, for example, in America, the churches. Whereas on the far right, of course, we recognize that religion is misused to appropriate and empower certain aspects of society. Both of those are wrong. But the Quran identifies the need for humility as well as adherence in our activism. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the story of Musa and his people and how Allah says, "Udkhulu al-ard al-muqaddasa allati katab Allahu lakum," enter into the sacred, the holy land which Allah has ordained for you. "Qalu ya Musa inna fiha qawmun jabbari." He said, "Ya Musa, inna fiha qawman jabbari," that there are, you know, strong people in this place. We're terrified. We're not going to go in. وَإِنَّا لَن نَدْخُلَهَا حَتَّى. And we're not going to go in there until you go in. So the entire nation is incapable of obeying their prophet. قَالَ رَجُلَانِ مِنَ الَّذِينَ يَخَافُونَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمَ ادْخُلُوا الْبَابَ فَإِذَا دَخَلْتُمُوهُ فَإِنَّهُ غَارِبُونَ فَإِنَّكُمْ غَارِبُونَ وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. But two people, two men spoke up who feared Allah. So they have the need for acting in the name of justice and repelling injustice, but they are not untethered from the reverence of Allah. They have both qualities. And here we see an important verse framing the foundations of Islamic activism. Obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in respect of His creation and defending those who may be the objects of injustice, as long as it doesn't violate the Sharia. قال رجلان من الذين يخافون أنعم الله عليهم ادخلوا الباب فإذا دخلتموه فإنكم غالبون وعلى الله فليتوكلوا إن كنتم مؤمنين. So those two men, as one of my teachers told me, those two men are stronger than an entire nation of people because they have khashya of Allah, reverence of Allah, coupled with a desire to defend and look after justice. Allahu Akbar. And that's what Allah says. As for the people who use, say, like the right in this country, who use religion to further their arrogance, سَنَصْرِفُ آيَاتِنَا عَنِ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. We will take away the recognition of our signs from those people who are arrogant. So we are in the middle. احفظي الله يحفظك. احفظي الله تجيه تجاهك. If you're mindful of Allah, you will find that Allah is with you, معيه, with His help and with His knowledge. إذا سأل فاسأل الله. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sheikh Sharnubi, he says something really nicely. فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهَ لِقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى وَاسْأَلُ اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِ. Allah commands, it's in the Quran, and this is a command. Surah Nisa, verse number 32. Ask Allah, beseech Allah for His blessings. فَإِنَّهُ الْجَوَادُ الْمُطْلَقُ فِي الْحَدِيثِ مَنْ لَمْ يَسْأَلِ اللَّهَ يَغْلِبْ عَلِيهِ. Here he's talking about dua. Make dua to Allah alone. Not like asking in a store, asking in the street, or that's a normal thing. But here he's talking about dua. And the beautiful hadith of Sayyidina Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who doesn't ask Allah, from Sayyidina Tirmidhi, Allah will be angry at them. Most people, the more you ask, the more angry they get. Allah, the more we ask Him in dua, the more, alhamdulillah, pleased He is with us. فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. Seek the help of Allah. أي أطلب المعونة في تحصيل المؤنة الدنيوية والأخروية من الله إذ لا معين سواه. Says, seek Allah's help for whatever you need to be successful in the hereafter and in this life, because Allah is the one who causes all things. كن فيكون فلا تعتمد بقلبك إلا على الذي خلق كل شيء وسخرها لك. So therefore, you should not rely on anything except the one who created all these things and has the ability to subjugate them for you. أَنَّ الْأُمَّةِ. Prophet said, if a nation, Shaykh, he says, جَمِيعَ الْخَلْقِ. Here it means the entire, all humanity, اجتمعت, came together to help you or to harm you. They could do nothing except with the pleasure and permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the irada kawnuhu muridan subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, rufi'at al-aqlam wa jaffat al-suhuf. I explained that earlier. The next narration is the one that we want to focus on a little bit before we go. As the Prophet ﷺ said, ihfadhi allaha tajidhu amamak. Be mindful of Allah and you will find Allah in front of you. Sheikh, he says something nice. Sheikh al-Sharnubi, he said, خَصَّ هَذِهِ الْجِئَةَ لِأَنَّ الْإِنسَانَ مُسَافِرٌ إِلَى الْآخِرَةِ وَهِيَ جِهَتُهُ. What that means, he said, is that in front of you, because everybody is headed. And what's in front of us ultimately is the hereafter. And the one who will be waiting for us in the hereafter, لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ لِلَّهِ وَاحِدِ الْقَهَرِ, is Allah. So somebody who lives his or her life right, in the hereafter they will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala أَمَامَهُمْ وَأَنَّ إِلَى رَبِّكَ الْمُنْتَهَى. The statement of the Prophet, know Allah. In difficult times, Sheikh al-Sharnubi, he says, تحبب. Love Allah. Allahu Akbar. Try to find the love of Allah in difficult times by obeying Him. Not, again, getting into some cool theoretical, philosophical stuff. The love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Quran says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي if you love Allah, follow me. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be there for you in difficult times. Shaykh, he says, في ساعة العيش وصحة البدن, for example. Allah will make sure that there are provisions for you physically as well as monetarily. And if we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the hadith continues, in easy times, Allah will be there for us in times of shidda. Allah says in the Quran, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Whoever is dutiful to Allah, Allah will give them makhraj, an exit. وَيَرْزُقُهُ, and provide for him or her, مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ, from places he or she could have never imagined. The end of the narration says, and you have to know, أَنَّمَا أَخْطَاكَ, that whatever has come to you from blessings and ease or difficulties and test, لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُصِيبَكَ, لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُصِيبَكَ, meaning that it's not those things you should worry about, and you shouldn't get caught up in those things, but you should see this as an opportunity, as mentioned in numerous texts, to be forgiven. To be forgiven. وَمَا أَصَابَكَ أَيْ قُدِّرَ لَكَ فِي الْأَزَى لَمْ يَكُنْ يُخْطِئُكَ. Nah. In other words, don't get caught up in the good times and the bad times. Don't read too much into them. And instead of allowing them to occupy you, we ask Allah for strength, because certainly it's not easy. I can't lie. Last month, I'm like, man, why is this happening? Why is this? This is interesting. But alhamdulillah. But to stay devout. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتْ. Stay obedient as you've been commanded, regardless of the situation. So don't worry about, oh, Allah hates me, or this happened, or this good thing happened, Allah loves me. La, 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 la. Be with Allah. The ultimate sign of whether those things are good or beneficial is my ability to stay consistent on devotion through the good and the bad times. وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ النَّصْرَ, and they know that the help of Allah, مَعَ الصَّبْرِ, comes with resilience. وَأَنَّ الْفَرْجَ, and that the escape, أي الْخُرُوجْ مِنْ الْغَمْ, out of difficulties and hard times and gloomy times, comes after difficulty. And that's why there's a great poem here. It says we shouldn't get too caught up in these things. Of course, any word after rubba is a noun. As mentioned by Imam al-Hariri in Mulhat al-I'rab. وَلَرُبَّ جَادِثَ حَادِثَةٍ عَفْوًا يُضِيقُ بِهَا الْفَتَى. Maybe some incident happens that suffocates a young person or a person. ضَرْعًا وَعِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْهَا الْمَخْرَجُ. The person feels really, really suffocated, but with Allah, this is a way out of something. Maybe it's a means of their forgiveness, mashallah. Maybe it's a means of raising their maqam with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe it's a means of teaching them something that they would have never known before without the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ضاقت فلما استحكمت حلقاتها فرجت وكان يظنها لا تفرج. نعم. You know, more or less that this difficulty, this suffocating experience actually became a means of expanse and a way out. The Prophet, he said, وَأَنَّ مَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا, أشار بعضهم لما في الآية بقوله تعالى. And this of course is alluding to the verses in Surah Sharh. But there's a great poem that captures all of these ideas, these Islamic ideas around difficulties. It says, إذا اشتدت بك البلوى. البلوى is a test and a trial that is going to expose something we didn't know about ourselves. So if such a test becomes difficult, فَفَكِّرْ فِي أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ. يعني it's very nice with this poem, this poet, he said. إِذَا اشْتَدَّتْ بِكَ الْبَلْوَى فَفَكِّرْ فِي أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ. When you find yourself going through these kind of difficulties, these kind of consuming trials, فَكِّرْ فِي أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ. Think about Surah Al-Sharh. فَعُسْرٌ بَيْنَ يُسْرَيْن. Because between one hardship is two eases in the chapter. إِذَا فَكَّرْتَهُ تَفْرَحْ. If you think about that, you'll be happy. You'll achieve happiness. And the beauty of this is that it locates the purpose of tests and trials. Unlike metamodernity, says that tests and trials and hardships are indicative of the quality, intrinsic quality and value of a person, or that they have no meaning. Islam posits difficulties that are met with resilience as a way to cash in the hereafter, alhamdulillah, and opportunities for growth in this world. وَبَيَانُ ذَلِكَ أَنَّ الْمَعْرِفَةَ وَهِيَ الْعُسْرُ أُعِيدَتْ مَعْرِفَةً. Because difficulties which are related to learning more about Allah are going to enhance a person's life. فَكَانَتْ عَيْنُ الْأُولَى وَلَمْ تَتَعَدَّدْ بِخِلَافِ يُسْرَ فَإِنَّهُ ذُكِرَ نَكِرَتْنَا. So alhamdulillah, this is a small reflection, inshallah. Next week on Wednesday, we won't have our class. Hopefully next Tuesday we can be in person, bi-idhnillah. Hoping that this, make dua for my family that they weren't exposed to COVID-19 as well as everyone else. If there's any questions, we can take them. If not, barakallahu fikum. We'll see everyone, bi-idhnillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, next Tuesday, inshallah ta'ala. So what do we take from this hadith quickly? Number one, that it doesn't matter whether we're going through good times or bad times. What matters is our consistency on being good people, obedient to Allah, and good to others. And that we should not try to find our intrinsic value in the good things or the bad things that befall us. Our intrinsic value is in our ability to stay committed and consistent as devout, adherent Muslims. That's difficult. We all make mistakes. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all. Alhamdulillah. Number two is many people, oftentimes bad things happen to them and they immediately think Allah hates me. Maybe Allah loves you. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Maybe you hate something is good for you. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ. Quran says maybe you hate something or you love something is not good for you. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُ. Allah knows and you don't know. But what matters is what am I doing and how am I taking responsibility for myself in those moments, alhamdulillah, rabbil alamin. Then we talked about how we locate difficulties and hardships, alhamdulillah, by turning to Allah in dua and seeking the help of Allah through obedience to Him. And finally, alhamdulillah, understanding that good and bad are not necessarily indicative of my relationship with Allah Azza wa Jalla. Prophet is tested more than anybody else, but Allah loves him more than anyone else. Fir'aun and Qarun, they have all of the amenities of life, but they are hated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are cursed in the Quran. Subhanallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us thabat, insha'Allah. كَمَا نَسْأَلُهُ أَنْ يَحْفَظَنَا وَإِيَّاكُمْ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقْ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَيَحْفَظَ أَوْلَادَنَا وَأَزْوَاجَنَا وَوَالِدَيْنَا. Ya Rabbil Alameen. If there's any questions, we can take them in the chat box. If not, Jazakumullahu khairan.
If you would like to listen to more, please donate to www.icnyu.org/donate. For more of our virtual programs, go to www.icnyu.org/classes. If you have any questions, email us at info@icnyu.org.